Good morning to you. I'm still on vacation, but I'm not too relaxed that I cannot minister to you. I was looking in my old stacks of messages that I preached so long ago. On April the 8th, 1990, I found this outline. It's a great little outline, and I'd just like to share a few verses of it with you and just try to pick up the main points. You know, if you want to pick up that book, that old black book, it may be brown, it may have your grandma's leather cover on it, a book that hasn't been picked up in a few months. And, well, you know what? What I'm going to do is, first of all, before we get into this, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21 in your Bible. But we're going to have a little fun today because it is Thursday. It's the trash day on my street, so I'm making sure, my gosh, people have gone through the trash cans, going through everything. I hope they don't leave more trash on the street than, is it that way in your neighborhood too? The city is just gathering more and more and more trash and everything. Well, come on, help me out here. You guys ready to cha-cha with me a little bit? Let's go way back, way back. And that's what I'm going to do with these little studies. I'm going to put a little dancing music here. Let's cha-cha together.
Sweet woman, sweet.
Yeah.
Sugar from my heart.
Listen.
Your kiss to kiss thrills me so.
All right.
Sweet woman, sweet.
Yeah.
Sugar from my heart.
What?
I'll never ever.
Listen.
Sweet
sugar for my honey.
You'll taste it,
yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Sweets for my sweets. Sugar for my honey. I'll never ever let you go. If you needed a dream to keep you smiling, I'll tell the same man you were blue. And I'll ask you to keep that sand a-piling now till all your dreams would come true. Cause I will give you
sweets for my sweets, sugar for my honey. You'll taste it, kiss, thrilling me so. Sweets for my sweets, sugar for my honey. I'll never ever let you go.
Yeah,
sugar for my honey,
I'll never kiss,
thrills me so.
Sweet for my sweet,
sugar for my honey,
I'll never ever let you go.
Play that piano, hey, yeah. Sweets for my sweets, way back in the day. You know what that's all about, don't you? The Drifters. Man, when I was a young man growing up, that is the kind of music we listened to. We didn't listen to all this other kind of music. And I'll be playing more of the Drifters for you as we go through this study. Today, I'd like to look at some of the events surrounding, if you want to really look at Christianity as a faith that can be addressed, I'd like you to look at the surrounding events of the final week. The final week, you know, to really look at Christianity, historical Christianity, and you see the way it was practiced by traditional Christians in religion. A lot of things come forward. I just want to go and jump in Matthew chapter 21, and I want to start looking at verses 12 and 13. I find these verses very, very interesting. I think that we need to understand that in the eyes of many people, Jesus came across as being just a nice moral man, but our response to him determines the way that God reacts towards us. And I think that that's very important. You know, we would say that we saw an old man or an old woman walking down the street, you wouldn't dare push him down. You know, you wouldn't dare cast him aside as nothing. But what did Jesus behold when he entered into his city? Because, you know, when you look at our cities, what do we behold? Dirt in the streets, people killing each other, all kind of mayhem. I hear that on the East Coast, man, they're getting ready to go through a freeze-out blizzard already. I mean, you know, people just need to learn how to stay home when it blizzards. I'm really not laughing at my friends back east. I'm not, because we're experiencing wonderful weather here in Southern California today. My goodness, just a few clouds in the sky. Very warm outside. Kind of tropical. It's nice. Well, in Jesus' day, some 2,000 years ago, the temple, his worship place that he went to, was overrun with comers, selling and buying. And now let's do a comparative analysis of that and look at the modern day church today. What is it overrun with? Selling and buying. There it is. The house of prayer had become a cave of hideous thieves. Thieves. The religious leaders had allowed this stupid perversion to come in. You have a garrison of a group of bandits, really, that had taken over. And when you get serious about it, that's exactly what has happened in our world today. Bandits have taken over the church. And you know, John, there you go again. You're always trying to pick a fight with somebody. Why can't you let somebody enjoy their lives? Why can't we be different? Why do we all have to? Because we're all saying that we're following the same God, right? In the same Bible. And so what I'm looking for, what I'm expecting, is some kind of cohesion here. You know, just like doing that little dance with the Drifters, you know, Look at Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. It's a very interesting verse. It says, even those I will bring to my holy mountains and make them joyful in my house of prayer. See, the temple was known as a house of prayer, but it had become a house of bandits and thieves. You know what? It says in verse 12, and Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. You know, if you're going to accept this as a holy book, all right, and I'm not talking about a book that the white man wrote, a book that the black man wrote, and all that kind of junk. Because, you know, we can try to choose sides of this thing. America is full of their racial divide. We don't have to make that divide even wider by doing that. No, no. But that's what he found. Now, look at this. What Jesus called the places that most Christians attend today, a house of prayer. Now, we have to give a definition of prayer. And I think that that's the addressing of God, whether in praise, petition, or confession. In other words, prayer is the most serious work of one's soul. Not that the preacher says, let's stand up and hold hands and do all that kind of crapola. Because all that is emotional baggage and bondage being transferred. Listen, I wrote this outline in April of 1990. Can you believe this? April of 1990. Here it is, January 2016. Ooh, that's a long time ago. You're saying, no, you didn't, John. No, I have it right in front of me. I went to one of my, you know what? I don't ever have to create. Check this out. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to try to take a picture of it and put it up when I put up this webcast. I'm going to show you my little office here. where I have my books, where I get my studies from. I don't have to put another Bible study together. Every day of my life, if I get at this mic and I get some of my some of my old music and put it up there and you know, kind of bring some fun to this thing. And not that giving you the Bible verse is not fun, but you don't have to be bored when you read the Word of God. You can say, wow, that was some lively music. Let me share something with you. When I came to know God personally, I never stopped loving the arts. There's nothing wrong with the arts. Now, it would be different if I had a record on here talking about B's and W's, you know, what these youngsters talk about today. You aren't going to hear that our music was happy and fun and ta-na-ta-na-ta-na-ta-na-ta-na-ta-na-ta-na. That's a cha-cha-cha. We would dance to the cha-cha-cha when the Drifters, that's who that was singing Sweets for My Sweets. I want you to get out of the mindset that the church has made everything anathema. No, it's not. That's evangelicism. Because they don't like it, then you shouldn't like it. Let me give you an example. Right now, our nation in America, we're going through this Academy Awards foolishness. I have to address it, right? And I'll get back to the text because I want to talk about what prayer is. That's very important. It should not matter whether a black person is nominated or not. It doesn't make you any difference at all. Is that affecting your pocketbook? If you're an actor, probably, if you think you've done a good job. But tell the truth. Was it a classic work of art? And could you qualify to sit on the Academy to judge whether something is noteworthy? You probably would think that you could if you are arrogant enough. I don't think that I'm arrogant enough to think that I'm the greatest preacher that ever existed in this country, but I have an obligation to tell you the truth. That's all I have. And I think that's what the Academy is all about. At least tell the truth. There was nothing of sustenance, and I saw Selma. Trust me, it wasn't worth an Academy Award. I saw a lot of movies by black filmmakers, and not to my estimate, and I'm 71. What, I should drop dead? Let me get back to the outline, tell you what prayer is. Prayer is a kind of communication that seeks instruction from a higher source. Now, I know in this country and in this environment that we live in, we think that we're the higher source because we believe that we are gods, that everything revolves around us. That is not true. Jehovah, God Almighty. All right? There is an insatiable craving for endowment from God to finite man. Okay, and this insatiable craving of this endowment comes from an infinite, or infinite, if you will, creator. He created us. We didn't create him. Oh, so many times I hear some of my students try to tell me in the philosophy classes, you've created God in your mind because of your guilt feelings, and this is all a psychological response of your synapses going off in your head. You know what? Don't come at me that way. Please don't do that. Oh, no, my friends. Would Christ see a bunch of bandits in a holy place if he came to the church today? I believe that he would. What would he see today? I'm going to say he would see mega madness, stupidity. He would see the worship of the pastor, no definition of who God is and what God is as a spirit. You know, I love that verse in the book of John. Jesus says, the Father is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. No, we can't do that. We're too busy being insatiated by our pastors and by our ministries, by the monies, by the greatness. We're bigger than you. We go here, you go there, all of that. So what did Jesus behold when he went into the holy city? Selling and buying. What does he behold when he comes into your city? Selling and buying. Would Jesus call it the house of prayer? What do you think? Ain't nobody talking or petitioning God unless they're asking him for a bunch of money and a bunch of stuff. And I'm telling you, God got a way to reveal that this stuff that we're craving for ain't really too much of anything. Third point, What did Christ hear when he entered into the holy city? Look at verses 10 and 11. And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitudes were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Oh, aren't they saying the same thing today? Who is this cat? Who is this Jesus? What, is he white? Is he black? Wait a minute. Well, let's try to answer the question. I wrote way back there, I said, I believe that he heard exactly what he hears today. The right kinds of questions. Who is this? Who is this? It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. We still, man, every time the Yuletide season comes, Time Magazine and some magazine writes down, don't they? Who is this Jesus? Did Jesus really exist? Can we really trust and rely upon those ancient texts? And you know, you can't. When you find people thousands of years ago mentioning him, believing in him, whole societies and everything driven by it, you have to take a very close look at the Roman Empire. See, you know, we don't like to look at other civilizations. We like to think that our civilization is the greatest civilization that has ever. Listen, you know, God can whack this civilization just by turning off the power in this hemisphere, and this country would sink into oblivion within about 3 or 4 years, and you know it. Now, don't think that we're so modern and we're so great. Nah, they'd be saying, "Who is this?" That's what they'd be saying. The question was asked simply because his presence caused great commotion. And I'd just like to add this, it still does today. That's why a lot of people don't want to mention his name. Don't know, oh, you're a follower of Jesus. I recall, man, when I was teaching at one of the colleges, man, my supervisor told everybody in the staff meeting, "Oh, John believes in Jesus," like it was a big joke or something. Oh, my goodness. The wrong kind of answers. Look what they said. He's a prophet. That's what they said in verse 11. He's a prophet. Just like people today. Why couldn't they see him as he really was? Why couldn't they accept him for what he really came to do? And the same thing is happening to us today, people. We can't do it because we have other things that have cluttered our minds. Men today also only see him as equal with Muhammad, okay, or Buddha, or anybody else. Or he's just a religious leader. He just comes around and he's trying to help humanity. Okay, let's give him that. But what are you going to do about that? And I don't want to talk about Buddha, and I don't want to talk about Muhammad, because I'm telling you, in some kind of a way, listen, in some kind of a way, if listening to those guys, and I'm not talking about these crazy Muslims just walking around here blowing up people and cutting heads off and all that, because that is not God. That is the worst of human depravity. That is human depravity gone berserko. So I'm not going to, with a broad stroke, swipe everybody's religion and everything else away. Because when I look at Christianity in this country, I dare not say, I wouldn't ask a Buddhist to come over here and try to think through some of the shenanigans when you go in this so-called house of prayer. Oh, no. What did Jesus hear? He heard the disgruntled murmurings of men who refused to acknowledge what they knew to be true. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15, if you will. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, man, isn't this truthful? The wonderful things that he had done, the children who were crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant. Ooh, I'd love you to look up that word, indignant. Oh, they became indignant. Notice their admissions. They saw the wonderful things that he did. They heard the cries of the children. They witnessed the unopposed response of those thrown out of the house of God. In other words, when they saw the thieves, okay, they approved of the action. They didn't join Jesus in throwing the thieves out. but they knew that it was true, yet they rejected what they saw. And this is what's wrong with church people today. You see it. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong, but you won't throw them out. Jesus heard their hearts, and he read their consciences, and he watched them seal their own fate. That's what I'm watching. You know, I'm not going to come and say, you're all going to hell. Or, don't you want to go to heaven? I'm not going to do that because it's not about that. We've sealed our own fate in this country. I've been talking about the past couple of weeks since I've been off on winter break. I've been talking about the dangerous plight of our young people. There appears that we don't think logically about what we're doing to our young people. God help them. How are they ever going to survive? And you know what? I cannot see anything but the every time I see the young person, their head is down. They are looking into a phone or into some kind of a pad, and they're disappearing, and they're so connected to everything instead of the thing that would give their hearts peace. Because I believe that's what they need. All right, let me bring this to a conclusion. Though 2,000 years have passed, men's reaction to Jesus remains about the same. Some shout for joy for a moment till fate no longer smiles on them. And then, in shame, guess what they do? They're rejected. Oh, it ain't working. What? What's not working? What you talking about working? It ain't working no more. Some tempt him with their schemes, hoping never to be found out, because you see, they're just going there, hey, man, maybe my luck would change. Man, I never knew the church to be a good luck charm. I never knew it to be that. Never did. No. Oh. Some see the honest truth in life, and then they scorn him in derision, robbing themselves of a wholesome heart, having ulcers, falling apart. You know, I think about the older people like my age, and I am so tired of hearing it. People see pictures of me they see me in person and they say, gosh, you look good, man. And I'm saying, well, why don't you look good? See, what I've done is I have ceased to allow people to direct my life. I only allow God to, as I understand God, not as other men. You see, when you read your Bible, you have to pick up the same thing that I'm picking up, because I'm picking this up. I'm not making this up. You can read those verses yourself. Oh, my friends. Some saw the honest truth in their life, and they saw him in scorn and derision, robbing themselves of a wholesome heart, only to be finally rejected themselves. Look at verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. You know, I find something very interesting in this verse. Because Jesus didn't hang around and try to persuade anybody. I want you evangelicals to get the point. You need to shut up. If you share some truth with somebody, no, you can't save anybody. You can't get anybody saved. You can't warn anybody to get saved. Let me help you with a problem that some of you have. You think that God has commissioned you to be the salvation bandwagon. No, he did not. The only thing, if he did anything at all in your minds, is commission you to caution as you share with other people only what this word says. Their refusal led to his rejection of them. But I pray that those of you that listen to me can get the greater idea of this message. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, because my machine here kind of like went bazooka on me. Okay, it's loading. Because what I want to do is I want to play another number for you. And I hope that this number will assist you as you continue to listen to me. What can I play? Because you know this world is getting a lot of people down, right? And here's, I think, one of the best songs that the Drifters ever. Just let me do a little DJing, right? I met a new friend of mine yesterday, and we had an interesting discussion. He was asking me a question about the first gold record that Smokey Robinson and the Miracles made. We were trying to determine who was older than who. As we look back, that's what prompted me to do this webcast with a little music on it today, because I love the oldies. Well, this world has gotten me down, and I want it to stop. So,
when this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face,
they sure are. Right.
I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift.
Where?
Right into space. On the roof, the only place I know, where you just have to wish to make it so. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired,
let me sing with
him. On the roof, it's the only place I know, where you just have to wish to make it so. Let's go up on the roof.
You can find peace up there. Oh man, the Drifters. You know what? Now that's no vulgarity, no foolishness, nothing like that. Let's say, hey, let's just go up on the roof. If this world starts getting you down, get up on the roof of that tenement house, of that apartment house in New York, in Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Miami, Fresno, all over this country. Come on, you may be in Nevada. You may be in Phoenix, Arizona. Morris, how you guys doing out there? Is it hot enough for you? You may be in burning up hot Las Vegas. When the world start getting you down, when you just upset by the stuff that you do and say and all of that, you need to get up on that roof, man. You need to get up on that roof, and you need to stop letting this mess get to you. That's right. And you know what? Now, what about your girl? You see your girl walking down the street over there?
this is what you say. Man, there she goes. Now, let me share something with you. This kind of music was the kind of music that I grew up on. I've been saying that on my website for years. This is the kind of music that framed my reference. You see, it wasn't cussing my baby out, talking trash about my... I want you young people to listen to the old man here. It wasn't about the filthiness, the degradation, the doggish dispositions. You see, when a society... Listen what he's saying. I love her, I need her beside my side to be my guide. And then he says, where is my baby? See, there was an honest search going on. I'm not going to end the webcast. I mean, man, I'm just loving, you know what? I'm loving this because it's not only giving me a different frame of reference to look at. And I hope that those of you on the way to work, driving, just, you know, checking out. No, I don't want to play that one. Let me play this one. This is one that you remember. I mean, they had a host of hits. A host of hits. Let me see if I played the right one. No. No. I wanted to play this one. All right. This is one that you remember also. The Drifters. They were one of America's first African-American, I wouldn't call it R&B. It was on Atlantic Records, too. They just, listen to this. You remember that, don't you? What did they say?
They say the neon lights are bright
on Broadway. I recall that.
They say there's always magic in the air.
Yeah, on Broadway.
But when you're walking down that street and you ain't had enough to eat.
Now let me pause this right here because it's a very interesting record. He's talking about Broadway, of course, in New York. And he says, you know, how am I going to make it? How am I going to become a star? But when you're walking down the street and you haven't had enough to eat, listen.
The glitter rubs right off.
Give me verse 2, listen.
They say the girls are something else on Broadway. But looking at them just give me the blues.
Ah, see a different approach to females back in the day. They say the girls are something else on Broadway, but just looking at them give me the blues. Now he explains why he has the blues. In other words, he's feeling melancholy when he sees him. He doesn't have any money. He can't support a woman. He can't support a family. He can't go forward. So what is he going to do? He's going to do the best thing he could, and this record identifies it.
How you gonna make some time?
when what?
When all you have is want and dime.
Now listen.
And want and dime won't even shine your shoe.
What a great way to end up that verse. How are you going to make some time if you don't even have one thin dime? And one thin dime won't even shine your shoes. But you don't hear him cussing out nobody. You don't hear him bragging about, I'm going to do this and do that and beat you down and have this and all. Because there was no degradative mindset back in the day. This is when you had church reigning supreme. And I remember when rock and roll came out, because my pastor, when I was a young man, he cautioned. He said, y'all watch out, because this music. I know who runs the music thing. And that's why music is so filthy these days. But let's continue to listen to some real music. Go on, boy, sing.
They say that I won't last too long on Broadway.
That's the critics in one's life. Listen.
I'll catch a greyhound bus for home, they all say.
Now, there's where your critics say, hey, you think you're going to get to Broadway? No, you're going to catch a greyhound bus for home. Why? Because brothers didn't have no money to be taking TWA and Pan Am and American Airlines flying all over the place. You got black men now flying all over the world, going to Dubai, going to Paris, London, and all that kind of stuff. Completely different world. I know the time for this music and the time for this is gone, but I want you to get the picture, young people, what I'm trying to share with you. Listen to the words. Now, see, he says they're wrong. I know they are, because I can play this here guitar. What's the lesson here? Find something that you can do to make you some money. I want to give this to you youngsters here now. You boys and girls have to work. And one of the things that you have to do is to work together. You got to get this frame of reference in your head, because you're not going to survive in this new world. You are not going to survive in this new world unless you figure out what to do.
And I won't quit till I'm a star on Broadway.
All up and down Broadway. Well, thank you, Drifters. I allowed the Drifters to be my musical theme today, and not necessarily to make you happy, but just to add some clarity to the Word of God. It's good to go back in my mind to the moments that made me happy. Now I got to start working on formats for next semester and get my syllabi and everything ready for those classes in the college. God bless you. Thank you for coming to my website. And for those of you, I haven't given a word of thank you to my students from last semester. Thank you so much for the kind words that I've been receiving about doing these webcasts. It is so good to hear that some of you are still listening in. And I hope that you can learn something from these lessons that your professor is sharing with you. Remember, you're living in a very peculiar age. You're living in a day and age where authority has been cast aside. Most people don't believe in it. Most people don't believe in any kind of divine authority. What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to chill out. Listen to me as I take you through these wonderful, wonderful lessons that I have typed up, man, on a dot matrix system. I can't believe it. The computer that made these things. Okay, I could talk all day. And you all know that. God bless. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word. Thanks for coming to Ram Radio, which is the biblical alternative.